So we're just going through over here. I wanted to go through a point on the parsha that we've been discussing. The question is in Bo. So you have over here by the last makkah. So you have let's say in Perek Yud. So it says that Moshe comes to Paro, and Hashem tells Moshe again to tell Paro about Yud at the end of Yud. So it's after Choshech, and Paro calls Moshe in to tell him that he's going to let everyone go. And Moshe pushes his hand a little bit, and again, goes through the same pattern, and then Paro retracts his offer to leave, and he says, "Vayomer lo Paro," and he says, "Vaychazek Hashem as leiv Paro v'lo ova l'shalachom." So there's the Hashem is hardening, strengthening the leiv Paro. And he doesn't want to send them. Vayomer lo Paro, leich me'olai. But this time, Paro says to Moshe, "Go, get out of here." Okay, leich me'olai. Be gone from before me. He shomer locho al tosef ro'os ponai. And watch yourself that you don't see me again. Ki biyom ro'osecha ponai, Thomas. The day you see my face, you will die. So, it's like, so the question is, what exactly changed? I mean, every makkah you had, this type of a thing, that, Paro would call Moshe back, and Moshe would, and eventually Hashem would be mechazik leiv Paro, and Moshe would leave. But what was so different over here at this point that Paro went so far as to be so angry and to say, "Never come back, and if I see you again, you'll die." And then Moshe's response is, "Kain dibarta, v'yomer Moshe, kain dibarta. You said what you said is good. Lo osif od ro'os panecha. I'll never see your face again." What was the point of what was Moshe's response? And then, what was really struck me as strange is at the end is then Moshe gets the nevuah, seemingly at that time, about Makas Bechoros, and he conveys that message to Paro in the next parsha here, and then at the end it says. V'yardu kol avadecho eila eilai v'shtachavu li le'mort se'ata v'chol o'am asher b'raglecho v'yachar chen eitze. So Moshe tells Paro, all of your servants, after this makkah, all of your servants will come to me and bow before me and say, se'ata v'chol o'am asher b'raglecho. You should all get out. V'yachar chen eitze, and then I will leave. V'yetze me'im Paro v'choriyof. And it says, and Moshe left from in front of Paro in anger. So what was his anger? So Rashi says, Al Sha'omar lo, Al Tosef Ros Panai. He was angry because Paro said to him, "I don't want to see you again." So what is the what was the dialogue, and what is the reason for Moshe's anger? That's really what bothered me the most in this parsha, in this exchange. All of a sudden, what, Moshe is like taking it personally now? Like, he's offended? Well, he's angry at Paro? He thought they had like a good friendship going, and now Paro said, "I don't want to see you." I mean, isn't it fairly obvious why Paro said that? Should Moshe be hurt and upset by that? And furthermore, it was Vaychazek Hashem Aslav Paro. And that's why he was acting under an influence of Hashem hardening his heart. So what's
that was involved before that makkah? I mean, it was Now,
well, okay, that's a good question. How far back that goes? But right before that statement, so that was part of the Chazak Yad. Of the Chazak Chizak Aleph. Why should Moshe take it? Be angry about it. What's the idea of Moshe's anger? And also, just to contrast it over here, it's interesting. The pasuk, that very same pasuk, really. It seems a little bit contradictory. It's interesting because in that very same pasuk it says, "V'yardu kol avodecha eila elai, v'yishtachavu li lemor." So it says, all Moshe said to Paro, all of your servants will come before me and bow to me, saying, "Tzei ata v'chol am asher b'raglecha." So Rashi says, "Cholak kavod l'malchus." Shere b'sof yored Paro ba'atzmo eila v'leila. Right, v'omar kumutzu mitoch ami. Lo omar lo Moshe mitchila v'yoradito eilai v'yishtach aviso li. So at the very same moment when Moshe is chori af at Paro, he still speaks to him with kavod malchus. So what was Moshe's reaction over there? He really hated the guy, and he thinks he's a real rusher. So why didn't he just speak to him in a disrespectful way? Kept the respect, but he had a chori af. All right, so. So that's my question. That's what I wanted to see if we could explore a little tonight. Alright, so what we did was we looked through the Makos themselves and the progression of the Makos. I recommend the Barbanel, you know, and he has a lot of nice, interesting ideas on the Makos. You know, he's very very observant on these things. He makes some very insightful points. But the main question that we were wondering about was how did Moshe really view his mission? What did Moshe, at the outset, from the very beginning, what did Moshe think was going to happen? What did he think? Did he think certain things had to happen, or in his mind was it open to possibilities? Like, for instance, precisely, did he think Makos Bechoros had... Did he know there were 10 Makos going into this? What was his knowledge? What was his anticipation? So, if you look back in the very beginning, so it says in Gimel, right? It says, Va'ato... So in the very first encounter, you have like this. You have... Okay, he goes through the basic rundown, and he tells Moshe, "Va'ata hine tzakas bnei Yisrael bo'o elai." Right, so now is the time. "Vi'ata lecho ve'eshlochacho el paro v'hotzi es ami bnei Yisrael mimitzrayim." That's all he tells him. All he tells Moshe is the very basic mission, the very basic format is that I'm going to go and send you the paro and take Ami B'nai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Doesn't explain how and what methodology is going to be employed. So that's what the Ramban explains. That's what Moshe was questioning from the very beginning. Mi anochi ki elecha paro. How is this going to work out? That how am I going to march in there and just demand this? Ramban explains, you know, that the Navi doesn't a Navi is subject to natural forces. Like Shmuel was afraid to tell Shaul that he's going to lose the Malchus. He was afraid of him. Navi doesn't have a feeling that there's no invincibility in the Navi. He has to think through the way to do his shlichus properly, and. So the Ramban explains that was part of Moshe's concern over here. But also, he wanted to understand what type of a shliach he was going to be, right? How is he going to win over the people, and what type of a shlichus is it going to be? Is he going to employ the method of... Because like we discussed before in the Rambam, that there never was really a shlichus like this. This was a unique... This was the first time that a Navi was given a nevuah to go specifically and tell other people that this is what Hashem told me to do, and this is what Hashem told me to tell you. Right, before that, nevuah was really more something that was for the individual's perfection. So Moshe wanted to know how this would happen, and the Ramban explains he wanted to know, would there be nisim, would it be just through teva? You know, would he have to just like convince them politically, or would there be some kind of overt nes? So that was a lot of the discussion in those 7 days by the snap. So if you look at it, so what does it say over here? So he says in Gimel, let's say Yud Ches, Yalech yasaf the zikne Yisrael v'yamartel aleihem Hashem elokei avazichem niro elai. Okay, again, go to the chacham over there, Poko Pakadi Yischem, and tell them that I'm going to take you out of Mitzrayim now. Vishomu v'kolecho uvosa ata v'zikne Yisrael el melech Mitzrayim v'amarte elav Hashem elokei ho'ivrim nikro oleinu v'yato neelcho no derech shlosh yom v'midbo v'nizbechol Hashem elokeinu. So you're going to go, you're going to gather the chacham, and you're going to present a unified face to Paro. But now is the first time that the details start emerging. V'ani yodati ki lo yitein eschem melech Mitzrayim la'aloch v'lo biyod chazaka. I know he's not going to let you go. V'sholachti yes yodi ve'vesias v'hikesi yes Mitzrayim v'chol nefla'osa yesher esa b'kirbo v'acharechein yishalach eschem. V'nosati yeschein ha'om azeh b'eini Mitzrayim v'hoyo ki seileichun lo seileichu reikam. But still at that point, right, because you're going to ask and they're going to give you. But still at that point, Hashem has not mentioned anything about hardening Paro's heart. Still he's saying, okay, he's not going to let you go without some tremendous show of force. But it doesn't really, there's no real detail over here. And it doesn't express any idea of, it hasn't yet expressed the idea that Paro will harden his heart. That Hashem will harden Paro's heart. Seems like the Makos, like some, it'll be Niflos, and then at the end they're going to concede, basically. Because
the fact that you're
going to
employ Niflos implies a hardening
by
definition.
Yeah.
Right? So you're going
to implies a pushback. It implies stubbornness and an unwillingness to comply, and needs to make him an offer that he can't refuse. But it does seem that there will be some consent. And Moshe still was apprehensive, and Hashem showed him the nisim to perform. Okay, but still, there was no mention of hardening Paro's heart. So where does it first say that Hashem says he's going to harden Paro's heart? It's interesting. That's not really until Moshe left on his mission. Right? That's when Moshe went to ask Yisro for permission to leave. Okay? And he was going down on his way to the Malon. So he says, Vayikach Moshe es ishto ves bonov. Right. V'yom Hashem al Moshe belechtecho l'shuv Mitzrayim re'ei kol ha'mofsim asher samti b'yodecha v'asisom l'fnei Pharaoh v'ani achazek es libo v'lo yishalach es ha'om v'amarto al paro ko amar Hashem b'ni b'chori Yisrael v'omor elecho shalach es b'ni v'yavdeni v'atimo ein l'shalacho hine anochi horeg es b'incho b'chorecha. That's the key pasuk that we have to understand. So now, at this stage, when Moshe was leaving, and he had the mofsim that he took with him, right? And that was the mata. Hashem tells him a little more of the extent of the mission. It's not just that Paro is going to refuse, but ani achazek es libo, I will harden his heart. And now he says, but what? But to what point? The Amarta al Paro, you will say to Paro, Ko, this is quote, Ko Amar Hashem b'ni b'chori Yisrael, va'omar elecho, shalach es b'ni v'yavdeini, v'atim mo'en l'shalacho, hine anochi horges b'ncha b'chorecho. So my contention over here is that that's a statement al tanai. Okay? Meaning to say, Hashem is telling Moshe that this is the threat you will deliver to Paro. The ultimate threat will be that if you refuse to let them go, then Anochi Horig is Bincha Bechorecha. But that's just an expression of the final possible outcome. Right? It's not Hashem saying. Hashem is not telling Moshe that is how it will happen. Right? It's just what he's telling Moshe that the message he's gonna have to deliver to Paro. Right? That if Vatimo ain l'shalacho, right, and if you refuse to send them out, then Anochi Horig is Bincha
Bechorecha. Interesting, it's expressed in singular and not plural.
Right. So Rashi says it's the Hasra. It's a Hasra on the Makkah Achorah. But But it doesn't seem to me that Moshe necessarily knew, that Moshe had any idea how far the Makkos would actually go. Okay.
I mean, he just
knew. I don't even know if he even knew the nine. Because when was he supposed to deliver this message?
That's what I'm saying. What
when is he delivering this message?
He didn't know the nine, but he knew the ultimate trump card.
He knew the... Exactly. He knew the ultimate trump card.
Right.
So in other words, he didn't necessarily know that it would come to this, but he was laying out the most severe possible... The nuclear option, like as they say. Now, why did he need this extra chizuk at this moment? Why did he need to... So Barbanel wants to say that when he went to consult with Yisro, Yisro sort of undermined his confidence, because Yisro said to him, "Lech l'shalom," like be careful down there. So like Moshe needed an extra chizuk at that moment on his way down. As he already accepted the mission and he was going down, but now he got a little bit of misgivings when Yisro sort of gave him a warning. That's the Barbanel interpretation. Why all of a sudden this moment you have this extra parsha of you? Okay. And it's true.
So that's not his failure.
He was trying to put his mission in perspective to him. He should have a proper anticipation and not be dejected when he sees a failure. As a matter of fact, he did feel that way at the end of the parsha. He got very upset. Lama hariyos lama zeh. Right? Lama shalachtani. He did feel, even with that warning, you see that he did have that problem over there. He had a feeling like that it should be quicker. I mean, as the Ramban or Shonam asked, why was he upset? Didn't he knew from the whole beginning, from the beginning that it would be? But no, he didn't really anticipate clearly how long it would be and what type of treacherous situation it would turn into for them. So maybe it would be put on hold and they would be waiting a long time, but not that it would go worse for them. Right. That he didn't speak. So he meets with Paro, right? And
wait, so we're saying before he went there, he was told about the piece of...
And he says, "Vayomer Paro, mi Hashem asher eshma b'kol l'shalach yisro, lo yodati as Hashem, v'gam yisro lo ashalach." So he said, so Paro denied knowledge of God. Okay. So he says, I'm not going to send you out. I don't know who this Hashem that you speak of is. And they said, no, it's Elokeo Ivrim Nikar Aleinu. Neelcho no derech shloshes yomah b'midbo v'nizvichol Hashem Elokeinu pen yifkeinu b'devro b'charev. So this we discussed, I think it was last year, that the question always is, why is Moshe always asking for 3 days? What's the thing with the 3 days, right? So, all right, the Mefarshim say, he didn't say we're going to go and come back. He wasn't lying. He said, But what's the point of that? What's the point of the 3 day the 3 day request? So the Ron discusses it, and the Ron says a very beautiful pshah. He says that was really playing in to sowing a doubt into Paro's mind whether Moshe actually had the ability that he claimed he had. In other words, the 3 day request is an obvious, you know, amateurish kind of a ruse to try to slip away in an underhanded way, right? We just want three days. Paro was able to, you know, sense it, see through that, and get the sense that if he really could just come in here with Elokei or Ivrim at his back, and he would be able to just take them out. So the fact that he keeps asking for the 3 days ultimately gave Paro a certain chizuk that Moshe maybe isn't really all he's claiming to be. And because if he really had what he claims to have, he wouldn't ask for 3 days. So the fact that he's asking for 3 days gave Paro, I think he also said it gave the... some of the Bnei Yisrael also had a little bit of a doubt because of that. That caused a lot of problems. They themselves were a little bit... their confidence was undermined. That's what caused a lot of problems with Moshe and Bnei Yisrael. But the plan was to get Paro ultimately to chase after the Jews into the Yam. And the only way he could do that was if he leaves some room in Paro's mind that the whole thing... was that the fact that he's asking for the 3 days shows he really doesn't have the ability to do what he says. So from the very beginning, that really was, so to speak, a giving, laying a trap for Paro. That's Kashia Zot. That's what's that?
Was that Moses' idea? Or
no,
Hashem,
that's Hashem's idea. That's Hashem's. That's Dvar Hashem. Okay, but. So what happened? Let's just go a little further. So he says, so let's take a look at the first mock over here. So actually it's before the first mock, right? In Va'era. Ches Tes, right? V'yomer Hashem el Moshe v'yel Aaron l'emor. Ki yedaber aleichem paro leimotzulachem mofes or martel aron kachas matecho v'hashleich lefnei paro yihusanin. Okay, so you'll do the oath with the staff turning into the snake, and the mechashrim did the same thing, and Aaron's mata swallowed their mata. Vayechezak leiv paro v'lo shama aleichem kasher diber Hashem. So what was that phenomenon? Vayechezak leiv paro v'lo shama aleihem, kasher diber Hashem. So that's going back to the original statement that he made in the very beginning, that he's going to refuse. But this does not represent an intervention. This does not represent a taking away of his bechira. Right? At this point, this was Paro's own vayechazek. He did it to himself. So you see that there's a phenomenon, although it says Hashem says he's going to harden Paro's heart, the phenomenon of the hardening of the heart is really a natural phenomenon. Okay, we'll have to see what does it mean that Hashem is doing it, but it is something that man is capable to do to himself. And as a matter of fact, if you look through the Makos, the only time it says that Hashem hardened Paro's heart is from
6 and onward.
It's from 6 and onward. It's from Shchin and onward. But, so that's what, you know, all the Rishonim mentioned. That even though Hashem says it'll harden Paro's heart, he didn't have to step in, so to speak, until the 6th Makkah. So what is the concept of hardening his heart? What does that mean, he hardened his heart? What does that mean? Yeah, so we'll have to think about it. So what does it mean in the very next pasuk? It says, "Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Koved Leiv Paro Me'ein L'Shalach Ha'am, Leichel Paro B'Boker." So why does Hashem have to tell Moshe that Paro hardened his heart, and he has to go to him in the morning, right?
What number is that?
This is before the first Makkah. This is right after the mice of the Mata and the Tannin. So Barbanel says, very hard to find things here, somewhere in here, I believe he says, that Moshe thought maybe the Maisa with the Tannin would eventually win him over. All right, it's true, at the end it says, Vayechazak Leifar V'lo Shama Aleihem, but Moshe wasn't aware how long that would really last. He didn't know if he would actually have to do the Makos. Maybe this was already the fulfillment of everything. I mean, Paro already refused for a while. He had an os, and he still refused. Moshe wasn't really... He needed to be informed that it's still ongoing. It says it again. I'm sorry. Again, in the beginning of Va'era, it says again, V'ani achazik es le'paro, right? Here's where he has another restatement of the mission. Let's jump back one more. Lochain emor levnei Yisrael ani Hashem v'otesi eschem mitachasiv v'zrayim v'yitzalti eschem yavol asom yevagalti eschem bezro netuya u'bishvotim gedolim. Yeah, and then he says no, he doesn't say it over here. What?
I see another one.
Yeah, where is it?
Zion Gimel.
Yeah, Zion Gimel. Right. That's right. Zayin Gimel, I'm sorry. Va'ata t'daber eis kol asher atzav ve'ako v'yaron hechich l'gedaber el paro v'shulach es b'nei Yisrael me'arzo v'ani akshe es leiv paro v'erbeisi es ososai v'es mofsai v'eretz Yisrael v'lo yishma aleichem paro v'nasati es yodi v'mitzrayim v'otzesi es tzivosai es ami b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Yisrael b'shvatim gedolim v'yodu mitzrayim. This is what you're talking about. Ki ani Hashem v'ntosi es yodi al mitzrayim. So now v'otzesi es b'nei Yisrael mitochem. So now it's true. Now he's adding another element over here. Now he's saying, before he didn't really reflect on Mitzrayim's development, right? Before it was just more of a pragmatic thing of getting them out, and also a certain idea of osos and mofsim. That would be a lesson for the Bnei Yisrael too, but would teach certain ideas. But what's that?
I thought it was for the whole world, but the pasuk just says Mitzrayim.
Well, they're going to be the direct objects. I mean, it says Yodim Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem ben Tosi Yodim Mitzrayim v'oseisu Yisrael mitochem. So you see, there's also going to be some element of limud over here, right? As you're saying, Ari. Going to be an element of limud in the makos. That's true. Okay, so in the first makos, what happened? It's interesting. If you look carefully at the makos, so Barbanel makes an interesting point. He says, in the beginning, in the first makos, it gives an explanation. It says, "Ko amar Hashem bezos teida ki ani Hashem." Right. Ki ene anochi makeh b'mata asher b'yodi al ha'mayim asher b'yor v'nefchu l'dam. And he describes the makeh. And Barbanel says, if you look carefully, that's like an introduction to that makeh, right? Ko amar Hashem bezos teida ki ani Hashem. And if you look carefully, you don't find that introduction by Tzvardeya and Kinim. Okay. The idea of what the purpose of it is. Right? The purpose of it by Dam is explained. Bezos teida ki ani Hashem. So Barbanel says if you look at it carefully, every three it gives an introduction like that. It means say that the first three are all a kiyum of bezos teida ki ani Hashem. And then the next three are kiyum in the next lesson, and then the three after that are in the in a third idea. I want to say there's three different ideas that are being conveyed through the Makos. Okay, so anyway, so that's the first one, saying to show you Ki Ani Hashem. Ki Ani Hashem. So what? But what was Paro's reaction to Dam? So it says, "Vayehafu kol amayim she bayor ledam," and all of the fish died and all of that. And "Vayasu chein chartumim mitzrayim belotayim vayechazak leif Paro v'lo shoma aleim kasher diber Hashem." Vayifen Paro vayovo el beso v'lo shos libo gam lazos. So it says, in the Makkah of Dam, the Chartumim were able to replicate it, and Paro just ignored it. Just completely ignored it. He was able to fall back on convincing himself that it's some kind of a trick. Right? And he didn't even seek out Moshe at all. Just ignored it. Vayavo beso, v'lo shos libo gam lazos. So that's the Chizik Lev, right? That's the Chizik Lev. It's true, there's evidence. Like, this is, old pshat, good pshat. There's evidence that he could have seen the difference between the magic of the Chartumim and the Nase of Moshe. But his refusal to acknowledge the truth, for whatever motivation he had, caused him to rationalize, and just he's able to talk himself into it. Vayechazek as leiv means he had a certain emotional desire for one set of facts, as they say today, one set of reality, for one his own personal reality, and a person has the ability to fortify that reality and just ignore any evidence to the contrary. Talk himself into it's very common today. You talk yourself into the each side is just has what they want to believe, and you just dismiss any evidence to the contrary. That's Veichazeg es libo. You have a thought that you wish is true, and you're able to convince yourself to stay with that idea. But by Tzvardeya, it wasn't so simple anymore.
Was so by the same thing by the Mata?
By the Mata too, right.
Because it's like, objectively, basically, the Russia says, it was the stick that swallowed the snakes.
That's
the
right.
The snake that swallowed. I mean, that's hard to...
That's right. What we're just going to do, right.
Is able to rationalize that that's the same thing. I mean, it's clearly not the same thing.
That's correct. He was able to in his mind say, yeah, it's a better trick than mine, but not to it would not
but
convince
qualitatively
him.
Different than
I mean, look, everything is an error that he's doing. Question is, how much of an error can you convince yourself? How much of a mistake and idea can you convince yourself of?
It's a stick and it's swallowing a snake. It's hard to like.
Well, what does it say in the plain shot?
Well, it says mate in the pasuk. It's a Rashi guess.
Vayivle mate Aaron es matosom.
Which means that it was the stick and not the.
Yeah,
not
that
the
could
snake.
Be.
That's the medrash. That's the medrash. That's the medrash.
That's a pshat, really. That's a medrash?
No. You're right. That's a pshat. Okay. Anyhow. So that shows you the extent of his vayechazak leiv paro. But by the Tzvardeya...
Magicians nowadays who can be...
Yeah, okay. By the Tzvardeya, he wasn't able to stay quiet. See, by the Tzvardeya, it says, Vayikra paro lemoshe le'aron v'yomar hatiru el Hashem. He couldn't just ignore it like he did by the Dam. Right? Because this was what really by the Dam, it says Vayachru kol Mitzrayim suvus hayar mayim l'shtos ki lo yochlu l'shtos mimei hayor. So apparently they were able to find. I know there's another mention on that, but they were able to find water. So okay, it was a demonstration, and it was I'm sure it shook them up, and it would have really been a convincing raya. But he was able to ignore it because it didn't really there was an alternative to the, to that to the mayim of the Yaor, and he was able to pay no attention to it in his mind. He was able to ignore it, but by the Tzvardeya, that was impossible already. The Tzvardeya are everywhere. It was already overwhelming. He couldn't tolerate it anymore. So then he sought out Moshe's help, and in the plague itself, he promised that he's going to send them.
But coming back to what you're saying, yeah, of Shad, of
the staff.
No. I'm saying in that same team, it sounds from the psukim.
So he was ready to give in. I mean, look, there's the pressure that he's under, and that pressure was enough to cause him to seek out Moshe and make a promise at least. That's a level more than the Dam. There was at least a cause that he couldn't just ignore. Okay? But Moshe said to him, tell me, right, glorify yourself over me. Hisporer olai. So I will be glorified. Hisporer olai. All right, a little bit of a difficult. Meaning to say that hishtabeach lishakim v'lishol dover gadol v'lomashlo ucha lasoso. Try to, you know, outdo me over here. Tell me when you want me to remove it. So Paro sensed that maybe this was a trick, right? Moshe is like saying, okay, I'll remove them when you want me to, right? So what did Paro say? He said tomorrow. So it showed you that there was a little, he was still like probing, he was probing Moshe's ability over here, because he thought maybe he's telling him this because he knows they're going to go away now. So obviously he's banking on the fact that Paro is going to ask him to remove the Tzvardeya right away, and he'll be able to make some grand show of it, you know. So Paro, although he was in this horrible situation that he called him to remove, he was a little bit of an experimentalist too. He said, okay, tomorrow, right? So so when it happened, they left at the time that Moshe said. So then, what was Paro's reaction? He says, "Vayar Paro ki hoyso harevocha." He saw the calm. He saw the space. You know, there was a relief. There was a relief from the pressure that had driven him to seek out the help. And vahach beis libo, v'lo shema aleihem kasher dibur Hashem. So that was a little bit of a progress for Paro, right? At least during the pain, he had some recognition, but it wasn't really a real change of heart. It was just because of the duress of the situation. But when the situation was removed, he reverted back to his old stage, right? And what's interesting is Kinim. See, Kinim is strange because Kinim seems to go backwards. Because by Kinim, he never calls Moshe in at all. It doesn't say that he calls them in. It just says, Vayom rachartum no paro etzba elokim hi. Vayechazak leiv paro v'lo shama aleim kashir dibir Hashem. So why is it by the Tzvardeya he called Moshe in to remove the Tzvardeya? Right, okay, then again he reneged at the end, I understand. But by the Kinim, it's strange, he didn't even call them in. So I believe that Ibn Ezra says the Etzbe Lokimi means it's just a natural fluke. It's like Elokim meaning like just nature. It's just part of the world. Don't worry about this one. And just write it out. I mean, it makes sense why he didn't.
There's no prediction for that one, right?
It's true. Just Vayomer Shel Moshe, Emor El Aaron, Nite Esmatcha Vahach Esafar Arts, Vahaya Lechinim Bechol Eretz. So they were not able to replicate it, but that, in a certain sense, they told him this is not magic, but it's also just could be something that happens every 1,000 years of the Kinema episode.
Just happened to happen on the hit.
Okay. Yeah. They were smart guys, Moshe and Aaron, but don't put into it more than you need to. Now again, he starts. Now, see, that's the Bar Avinel says. Now he comes up with a new lesson. Ko Amar Hashem Shalach Ami V'Avduni. Kim Einuchem Mishleich Has Ami Hini Mashlech B'Chav V'Dechav Ami. Now he's going to bring in the Arov. Right, the Arov is what. Vatei Laman Teida Ki Ani Hashem Bekerev Aretz. That's already a hashkafa. Because by the Arov, there was a differentiation, right, between the Mitzrim and the Jews, right? See, although you learn in school that by the Dam there was a differentiation, but that's not the plain pshat. Measures like that's true, but the plain pshat is the Arov, the Arov was the one that demonstrated a ni. Hashem bekerav haaretz has a hashkacha on the animals. The animals normally just roam around, and they are going to be isolated. So now power really did give in a little more. Now again, he called them back, and now he said, "Okay, lechu zivchu lelokechem bo'aretz." Question is, how is that different than the last offer that he said? What was different than? Because his first offer was by the Tzvardeya. He said, "Ashalicho es ha'om v'yizbechu l'Hashem." So is he giving in more, or is he giving in less when he says now? He says, "Lichu zivchu l'elokechem bo'oretz." And now Moshe responds, says, "No, we can't stay here. We have to go derech shloshes yom nelech b'midbar. How can we slaughter animals here in Mitzrayim? All the Mitzrayim worship these animals. They're going to kill us." So again, was Moshe playing into his, you know, his doubt, feeding his doubt in Moshe's abilities? Like now he's worried that the Mitzrayim are going to kill him. You know. So.
What's he doing? Why does he want him to do that?
Because he wants him to chase after him in the end. That's the Ron's idea. He wants him to chase after him at the end, so that he can kill him in the Yam. Because that was the greatest. That's what impressed Yisrael in the end. Kibadavar shir zadu aleihem. Right. That the thing that they, it was a midah keneged midah. They killed the Jews in Mayim, and their ultimate onish was in Mayim.
I thought Moshe's whole goal was to make Paro, recognize Hashem. Why would feed him down?
That's not the Ron's pshat. The Ron's pshat is that ultimately he's going to have to. Ultimately, he's going to want them to still have a doubt and chase after them. Okay. It's a good question. It's a good question. If Moshe really understood that was his mission at this point or not? Not clear. It's not clear to me. All right, we're running out of time. I didn't realize that.
It was, if they had really internalized it, I mean, you can say it's like, you know, Sforno. You know, even if they had really internalized it, then they could have not gone. But if it was all just emotional response, right, then they really haven't learned anything. So then they'll react to the trickery and they'll get what they deserve.
Right. So what I think, just to go back to answer my question here, because I'd like to go through all the makos, but I just want to answer my question. What I think is, basically what I'm trying to say is that Moshe really did not understand the extent of the mission. In his mind, he thought that there would be makos. He thought his mission was twofold. To take Bnei Israel out, of course, but also ultimately to educate Paro and the Mitzrim and teach them the correct ideas. And each makkah, each lesson in the makkah was really trying to convey an idea, like the Ramban says, the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the makkos convey the basic fundamental ideas of God. Hatir Olah, he was demonstrating, Tfilah is demonstrating, Hashkacha, all of these ideas. And really, there was no indication that they would have to have a Makas Bechoros. All Hashem said was, you're going to have to put them through the ringer in order that I can demonstrate these ideas, and then they'll send you out of Mitzrayim. But by the time they got to Choshech, once Choshech was over, Moshe was encouraged. Moshe was encouraged that maybe he would be successful in that mission. Because Choshech really represented the third set of three. It was the ninth already. So he had already demonstrated the lessons of the first three of Ani Hashem, Anochi Hashem, and then Anochi Hashem Bekar Va'aretz is in the second three, right? And then Bard was the Gvura, Kol Magi Fosai. So those things have already been demonstrated. And you see, Paro's reaction by Choshech was really different from all the other reactions. Because Dam, he didn't pay any mind to it. Kinim, he also was able to talk himself into it. And all the other Makos, although he came to Moshe, he always only came during the Makkah itself. Right? It was really the stress of the Makkah itself that really drove him to seek out Moshe. But if you look at Choshech, it says, "Vayhi Choshech afeila b'chol Eretz shloshes yomim lo ro'u ish achiv lo komu ish mitachtav shloshes yomim ulechol b'nei Yisrael haya or b'moshe v'osam." So if you learn that the pshat, pretty much the pshat, is that nothing was happening for those 6-7 days, whatever it is. Nobody was moving, right? Well, it's two sets of three. Vayikra Paro Moshe Vayomer Lechu Ivdu Es Hashem. So when did Paro say that? So I saw Barbanel, others say also, this was really after the Choshech already. It was already after the Choshech, because during the time of the Choshech, there was no movement. Like Rashi says, the first three, it was Afela, the second, and then the end, nobody could even move. So really, Choshech was the first time that Paro really sought out Moshe, even after the Makkah was over.
Did they know that the Mitzrayim? Did they know that the Jews had light? Is that what they know? If it was totally dark by that?
No, they didn't know.
The distinction is like a little bit. It was more for Bnei Yisrael than it was for the Mitzrayim, because Bnei Yisrael had the light, and they knew that the Mitzrayim had the darkness.
Well, it says the Jews were able to walk around and find the good stuff and then come and ask them for it later. Right.
They told them where their jewels were.
Right. I don't have anything. Oh, what about the stuff in that... Right. So anyway, so now Paro comes to Moshe and he says, okay, everybody can go. So the previous time he refused to let the children go, right, and the old people. Now he's saying, okay, the children, everyone can go, just leave your goods here, your possessions basically, the animals. And then Moshe turns on him, turns around, in an unusual expression, he says, Vayomer Moshe, gam ata titen biyadeinu zvachem v'olos, v'yasinu l'Hashem Elokeinu. Now Moshe really putting the screws in him. Says, not only are we going to take our stuff, but you give us stuff too. So I think that Moshe was not being like. I think at this point Moshe was really trying to express, and he was hoping that he was to express to Paro, not like a sarcasm, but a reality. And he's saying, you should understand at this point you should recognize that from everything that we've been through, all of the lessons that I've demonstrated to you, that your true reaction should be one of willingness. Your true reaction should be one of embracing and recognizing the MS. And not only, therefore, should you let us go, but you should want to participate yourself. But Paro was unable to do that. And what did he say? He said, "Leich me'olai, hishom alecho al tosef rosh ponai ki biyom roscho ponai Thomas." So when Paro expressed that idea to Moshe, he said, when I see you next, you should die. At that moment, Moshe recognized that he's impossible to reach. It's impossible to get through to Paro. Because even though God is hardening his heart, even though it's an expression of a Yechazek as Lev, Yechazek Lev doesn't mean that God puts foreign thoughts into his mind. It means to say that he'll have some superhuman ability to hold on to false notions that he already believed. He'll be able to grab on with a certain superhuman strength to ideas that are in his mind, but not a foreign notion. It's just a chizuk of what he has. So when Moshe saw that Paro's reaction to the final display to Choshech was, if I see you again, you will die, that showed Moshe that Paro really never advanced in his philosophical understanding. And he was relating to Moshe as like the source of the problem. He was relating to Moshe as the, so to speak, if I can get rid of you, he was saying, I'd solve my problems. But that's a complete distortion of the reality of God that he was trying to teach him. The fact that he still associated Moshe, the man, as the source of his problems, showed Moshe right away that he never really shifted his way of thinking from the primitive that invests objects with powers to the true philosophical idea of the Borei. So when he told him that, Moshe said, "Kein dibarta lo osif od ra'os panecha." Moshe was basically making a statement of fact. He says, "Now I recognize that my interaction with you is futile. There's no more reason for me to ever see you." Moshe understood up till now that the mission of the Makos was twofold. He would come to Paro, tell him, talk to him, teach him, inform him, and hopefully develop him. And he anticipated and he thought that after Choshech, that would have been enough, and Paro would say, "Okay, now I see, now you're right," and now that would be the big Kiddush Hashem, that he'll turn around and he'll give them a royal escort out of Mitzrayim. But when he had that childish, primitive reaction of, "You, I wish I could get rid of you, you're the source of my problems," then Moshe recognized that mission is a total failure. And there's no more reason for his interaction with Paro on a personal level. Kein dibarta. It wasn't like in anger. It wasn't in like a type of a chutzpah type of, like, no, it's true. Kein dibarta. There's no more reason. Lo osif od ra'os panecha. Because there's no more. There's nothing more there's nothing more I can do to teach you. I think that was really the source of Moshe's charon af. I don't know if it was a chori af, it wasn't a personal chori af. It wasn't, "I'm angry at you." It was an anger at the failure of what he perceived to be his mission. Charon af, the Rambam says, at least when by God, usually refers to an avodah zarah. So Moshe apparently had it seems emotionally it bothered him. He really had thought that he would be able to bring him over. And when he recognized that, it was angry. He still spoke to him with the covered malchus, but he was angry. He was angry that bichoriyaf. But it doesn't say angry personally at Paro, but it was a bichoriyaf al she'omar lo al tosif ros ponai. That's the way Rashi means. He was put into a state of frustration and anger because of what he perceived to be the reality of the statement al tosif ros ponai. Not a personal, "I'm angry at you because Paro said I don't want to see you anymore," but because of what he understood that to signify, that he had no chance of reaching him. That created him. That created an anger in him, an angst. Yeah. And So that's what I that was my my thought on that parsha. All right. So I mean it's nice to go through. I think you should go through the Makos. These very nice developments over there. But I just wanted to answer the question. Maybe in terms of the last question of why it says, why does it say kachatzos alayla, as we were discussing also. What does that mean over there? Moshe says kachatzos alayla. Doesn't want to say exactly b'chatzos. So Rashi says because maybe they'll make a mistake in their cheshbon, and they'll be an hour off or something, and then they'll say Moshe's a liar. So what kind of a crazy thing is that? Everything comes true except the timing is off by an hour. How could they think he's a liar? Like Ari says, they should switch their clocks. They should reset their clocks, not think that Moshe's a liar. So the only pshat I can think of, is that he's only worried about one possibility. That they're going to predict it earlier than it actually occurs. Their clocks are going to be fast. And if their clocks are fast, there'll be a moment where they have that thought. It's true, when it comes true, they're not going to have that thought anymore. But there will be a moment where they go through that thought and have some basis for it.
Why do you?
So who cares for one moment, right?
I understand, but why do you have to say that?
I don't know. It's not like the Kenim. I don't think the hour is going to make the difference between whether it's whether they consider it to be a nace or not.
I'm just saying, whatever it is, it's inaccurate. As long as he has some.
Okay. All right. To my mind, if it would have happened an hour earlier, I don't think that anybody would be saying Moshe Badayu. Because it's obvious that everything he said is true. You see it. You see it happening, and then what Ari says is right. You have to immediately conclude that you are off. But Moshe was afraid that the Makos, they were sort of like in a state of suspension until the final Mako, which would then verify everything from before. Moshe was afraid that if there's a little break in that. If there's a moment where they break the tension of seeing if it's going to happen or not, it will undermine the cumulative effect of the last Makkah. So if they predicted it, if they themselves predicted it to come early, and then they have a feeling that it's not happening, then it's true when it happens, they're going to have to recognize it.
An hour later, they'll change your mind.
But changing, it'll lose that effect will be lost. A certain effect will be lost of the anticipation followed by the confirmation. If you have a break in between, it'll lose some of the effect. So Moshe was still hopeful to have the full impact of Makos Bechoros. And maybe they would, and that would convince them. Okay.